God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And the title of the sermon this morning is Having Respect. Having Respect. You say, well, aren't you going to preach on faith? You know, you read out of the faith chapter. Well, I think that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26 defines what respect is. Now, obviously, there's a teaching found within verse 26, and that's a sermon for another day. But it's not bad to use Bible definitions to define the Bible. Amen? Amen. Or, you know, what do you want me to bring out like a commentary and say, this is what it says in the Greek lexicon? No, we don't go through that. We're just going to use the Bible to define itself. Amen. And what does the word respect mean? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, look down at your Bible. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So we see that the recompense of the reward is used interchangeably with Christ's greater riches of the treasures in Egypt, just as respect is used interchangeably with esteeming. So if you were to say, what does respect mean? We could easily look at that verse and say, to respect someone means to esteem them, okay? It's to hold them in high regard. That's what that means there. Now, go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And it's important that we talk about this subject of respect simply for the fact that today we don't see that very often. People disrespect one another on a day-to-day basis, and unfortunately, Christians have become and have adapted this attitude of being disrespectful. We say, well, you know, if I believe right, this person believes wrong in this certain matter, this subject, I can disrespect them. Well, the fact of the matter is, no, you can't, okay? Right, right. And we're going to look at as to why. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So the commandment there is that we ought to respect one another even better than ourselves. We ought to hold each other more valuable than ourselves. Why? Because that's a fulfillment of the royal law, okay? That we love one another as Christ hath loved us, that we should esteem one another as God has esteemed us as well. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. We're going to look at another definition or how we can define respect here in Leviticus chapter 19. So generally, the Bible does teach us that we ought to respect one another. And not just one another, we ought to respect other people as well, even if they're not saved, okay? Now, we're going to get into the people who don't deserve respect, and you say, well, there's a group of people who don't. Yeah, there's tons of people like that. But generally, the Bible teaches us that by default, we ought to respect one another. Amen. We ought to respect people when we go to their houses, people we don't know, people who are not saved. Why? Because we're Christians. Amen. Okay? And yes, we're zealous, we hate sin, and we hate evil and all these things, but by default, we need to be a respectful people. Okay. Amen. Leviticus 19 verse 14 says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Now let's look at verse 15. By the way, verse 14 gives us the standard to go by how we are to respect people is by fearing God. Amen. When we fear God, we're going to have the right respect towards people, right? But verse 15, again, we see respect is used interchangeably with honor. So to respect someone is not just to esteem them, but it's also to honor someone else as well. Now here we see it says, thou shalt not respect the person of the poor. Does that mean we disrespect every person who's not able to, you know, provide for themselves? No. What it's saying there, if you look at the next verse, it says, nor honor the person of the mighty. It's saying, don't be partial. And we're going to go through partiality in just a bit. Brother David, if you can hit that switch, please. You know, the Bible talks about largely about partiality. In other words, you esteem someone else better than someone else because of their status. Okay, that's wrong. Amen. Okay, you're a hypocrite if you do that. Because we're not supposed to be partial in anything that we do. All right? Now, we see the instruction given here. Now, go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. So, in Leviticus, we see that respecting someone is also used synonymously with honoring people. Okay? So the Bible talks about this, by and large, throughout the Word of God, that we ought to esteem people, we ought to respect them, we ought to honor them. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible reads here, honor all men. That's pretty simple, right? Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, again, by default, that ought to be our attitude. In other words, we don't just look for a reason why we can disrespect someone. By default, we ought to just respect everyone. Esteem everyone. Deem everyone, honor everyone as best as we possibly can, unless they give us a reason not to. Okay? So by default, we ought not to look for the fault in someone and their flaws that they may have, or just assume that they're wrong because they're not us. Right? By default, we ought to just respect everyone, honor everyone, esteem everyone. Now go to Exodus chapter number 2. Look, we ought not to have this attitude of just because they don't fit our way of doing things or even necessarily all our beliefs. Now, let me just go on and say that the only belief that we will become disrespectful towards, obviously, is this matter of salvation.
Amen.
Okay? If you have a pastor that stands up and muddies the gospel and starts talking about that it's by works or you have to repent of your sins, you don't have my respect.
Amen.
Why? Because if you're claiming to be a pastor, okay, if you're claiming to be a pastor of a church that's teaching the word of God and you say that you can lose your salvation because you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, then you lost my respect.
Amen.
I have no respect for you. In fact, I will go even as far as to say I'm going to disrespect you.
Amen.
Why is that? Because that's a damnable heresy that leads people to hell.
Right.
But you know what? Anything other than that, even if you believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, I'm not going to disrespect you if you believe right in the gospel.
Amen.
Now, I believe you're misinformed. I believe you need to do a little more studying. I think you maybe don't study to show yourself approved unto God. But I'm not going to just flippantly say, well, you're not saved. You know, that's not right.
Amen.
Okay? But when someone starts teaching and saying, well, you know, if you believe that the Jews are not God's chosen people, then, you know, you lost your salvation. Well, at that point, you've just completely made void my respect for you.
Amen.
Okay? I don't respect. And by the way, I don't care how old you are. Because here's the thing. There's a line that people draw. And obviously the Bible, and we're going to look at this. There's a lot of disrespect towards the elderly. Okay? Unfortunately, in our day and age. You know, a lot of millennials, you know, like to judge the elderly and disrespect them. Well, that's not right. That's wicked.
Amen.
Okay? And we're going to look at a couple verses in regards to that. But here's the thing. It can get to a point where even if you're elderly and you start teaching wicked, damnable heresies like that, I don't need to respect you.
Amen.
But they live longer than you. Yeah, and they still don't know what the Bible says about that?
Amen.
You know, you basically discredit yourself if you say, well, if you're using your age as a means to why you should earn that credibility, but you're teaching damnable heresies,
right.
You just discredited yourself then.
Yep.
Look, Cain is thousands of years old.
Yep.
Okay? Let's say if he was still alive, he's thousands of years old. Do we respect what he did? No, neither did God. And there's plenty of people in the Bible who did wickedly who are older than us. Do we just respect them? No. You know, Charles Manson, that wicked idiot who's in prison. Did he die recently? Oh, he did die. Praise God. So when he was alive, did we have to respect him? No, absolutely not. We said, well, he was 80 plus years old and, you know, he's been around the block longer than you have. But he's evil. He's wicked.
Amen.
So we don't just say, well, you know, yeah, honor all men by default. But if it comes to a point that they're doing something wicked, then they just made void that respect. That makes sense? Now, Exodus 2, verse 24. So a common phrase, we're not going to go through all the verses that you'll see in the Bible, is the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. Does that mean he doesn't respect anybody? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Let's look at verse 24. It says, and God hearing their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Go to Romans chapter number 2. So in Exodus 2, we see an example that God did have respect unto someone. He did esteem them. Okay? He heard their prayers. Romans chapter 2, and look at verse number 10. The Bible reads here, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also die without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. What does that mean? So when it says that God does not respect our people, that means he's not partial. That's why it says in verse number 10 that to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile, excuse me. So what is it saying there? You know, just because that they're Jews doesn't mean, oh, you know, they're better than everyone else.
Right.
Yep. God's not a respecter of them. And look, even if there are God's chosen people in the Old Testament, There's people who were part of God's chosen people in the Old Testament that went to hell. Yep. They died and they went to hell. Okay, because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe on the true God. And because of that, they split hell wide open. Why? Because God is not a respecter of people. So it's not like, okay, well, you're a part of that chosen nation of Israel. I guess I'll just let you into heaven because we got a covenant together. It doesn't work that way. He's not partial. He's not a respecter of people. But you know what we see today is an attitude in independent fundamental Baptist churches that say, well, you know, yeah, we're all equal as far as Christians is concerned, but the Jews, they're really special. I've even heard people say that they're a lot smarter because they're Jews. Okay? You know, they look upon the finances that they have and the resources and the money they have. Like, it's just, they're good at business. No, it's because they're liars. They're thieves. They're extortioners. They get their finances by evil means. And any Christian who believes that the Jews are a lot smarter than us because of all the finances they have, why don't you go to L.A. where all the pedophilia and pornography is being produced and tell me if that's a good way to get money. It's evil. It's wicked. So just because someone has a lot of money does not mean that they're smarter. Okay? The guy who stole my van 2 weeks ago, it doesn't necessarily make him smarter. It just makes him a thief. Okay? If he was smart, he'd just get a job, work, and get a better car than I got. So here it's saying that God is not a respecter of people. He's not partial. That's what he's saying. So we can't have this attitude that, you know what, just because I'm a Christian, I can live how I want and nothing's going to happen to me. Well, you know what? You'll never lose your salvation. But you know what? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Amen.
So don't think that you're above it just because you're saved, you got a King James Bible, you believe right in all these situations. You know what? If you get in sin, God's going to kill you. You know, if you're involved in fornication, you have the potential to be the candidate for death. You said, well, I believe in the post-trib, though. That doesn't mean anything to God if you're involved in sin. Okay? So don't think that God is a respecter of people. Now, God does esteem those who walk uprightly. He blesses those who try to live right, who try to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Yeah, he blesses those. Okay, but we're talking about people who, just because they're Christians or they're saved, they can sin and do whatever they want. Yeah, you won't lose your salvation, but guess what? You will lose blessings. And potentially you could even lose your life. Okay, I've met people throughout the years who are saved people, and man, they died a terrible death. I'm talking about a dishonorable death. Look, if I die, I want to make sure I die like going out with glory and with honor. You know, if I die before a firing squad because of my beliefs, then man, that's a good way to go.
Amen.
But when you're dying at the hands of gang members, you know, because you're a Christian, you're involved in something you shouldn't be involved in, that's a dishonorable death.
Amen.
Or you die because of a drug overdose. That's a dishonorable death. Or you die because you just lost hope and you commit suicide. That's a dishonorable death. So God is not a respecter of people. Go to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. There's a lot of Christians even today that esteem others based upon their status. Okay, I was at Verity on Wednesday night, and I preached a sermon there that I'm going to be using for a future documentary. And I'm not going to say what it is as of yet. But I called out Jack Treiber in North Valley Baptist Church.
Right.
Golden State Baptist College. You say, why is that? Because they're a perfect example of people who esteem others based upon their status.
Yeah.
Right here. Okay. You know, my brother-in-law even told me that years ago he went there and a student from their college, you know, these people who are going to turn the world upside down for God. These people were being trained for the work of the ministry. My brother-in-law, he said, he came up to a guy and the guy looked at his tie and said, oh man, that's a nice tie. Until he turned around and looked at the brand and said, oh, never mind. That's wicked. Covetousness. Okay? They care, apparently, right? That's important to them. That's wicked. You know, you're basing your respect upon someone based upon what clothes they wear? That's retarded.
Amen.
You know? And here's the thing. Most of those people and college students are in debt.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Because they want to buy the nicest of everything to please the Joneses. And the Joneses' kids are in the Bible college. You know, and they're in debt. They have all these materials, all these cars, and they want to show off their bling bling. But you know what? They don't have God's respect for that.
That's right.
Why? Because the Bible says to be content with the things that we have. Amen. Okay? And the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible tells us. So just because you have a nice, look, I guarantee you, most of these students in these colleges, as flashy and as bougie as they want to look, they don't know anything about the Bible.
Amen.
You tell them, ask them a general Bible question, I guarantee you they don't know it. But you tell them where to get the best deal at for their suits and ties, I guarantee you they know that. You know? They're more familiar with the things of this world than the things of God. Okay? Why? Because they're a respecter of people. You know, if someone comes in, let's read James chapter 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. By the way, James chapter 2, of course, is the famous chapter where we see that faith without works is dead, right? But what is it saying here in verse number 1? Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. That means you can have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ without respect of persons, right? It's saying don't have it with respect of persons. It can be accompanied with respect of people. And he says there, for if there come unto you, your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, you know, the nice suits, the flashy rings and the latest iPhone and the nice car or whatever, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. That's the clothing you get at the thrift store sometimes, right? Well, they would consider vile raiment, right? And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. By the way, gay means happy. It doesn't mean faggoty or anything like that. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, sit thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? He says, don't do that. Because in God's house, everyone's equal. Okay? Just because someone has money doesn't mean they get a better seat in the church. Youth conferences.
Right?
Well, they'll boot you out because you didn't pay to go to the youth conference, and they'll send you to the back. That's being partial. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Okay? We ought to esteem everyone by default generally alike. Okay? And not think, oh man, this guy's got money. And don't think that doesn't happen in churches.
Right.
Where they see someone come in and they look through the window, they see the kind of car they drive, and they just roll out the red carpet for that one person.
Right.
It happens. You know what I mean? Yeah, not here.
Amen.
Okay. Look, and I don't even know who has a nice car here. If you have a nice car here, amen. If that's what you want, I'm not going to judge you based upon that. But don't think you get special favoritism from me or from anybody else just because you do.
Amen.
Okay? Or just because you have nice clothes or nice shoes or whatever it may be. You don't get no respect for that.
Amen.
You know what you get respect for? If you go soul winning.
Amen.
If you're reading your Bible, if you're faithful, if you're pure and holy.
Amen.
Okay? If you're leading your family, all right? You get my respect for that. If your kids are in subjection to you, you get my respect for those things.
Amen.
Okay? But generally, obviously, we respect everyone equally alike. We don't just pick and choose who we want to respect based upon ethnicity either.
Amen.
That's very prevalent in churches too. You know, they want to, look, I love white people. I'm married to one. Raise your hand. But you know what? There's churches, it's just like, if a different skin color of person comes in, they treat them like worse. Or they don't treat them as nice as they would treat other people. That's wicked.
Amen.
Look, if that person's saved, if I cut you and I cut him, you guys are going to bleed the same color.
Yep.
You guys are both, we're all red.
Amen.
If we bleed. So it doesn't matter what skin tone we are. And I'm glad we have a myriad of different ethnicities in our church, because this is how heaven's going to be like.
Amen.
All right? I'm glad we're in a church that we don't judge people based upon, you know, whether they're white, they're black, they're Mexican, they're Asian, Chinese, whatever it may be. It's like we're all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
But you know, you have churches who are partial in those things.
Yeah.
Okay? You even have churches that will name their church based upon the predominant ethnicity in that church. How many of you have ever seen something like that?
Yeah.
You know? You know, you pick the race, it's, you know, Romanian Baptist Church. Is there a Romanian Baptist Church? I don't know.
Yeah.
Romanian Community Church or something.
Yeah.
Only Romanians allowed.
They're all Pentecostal.
They're all Pentecostal. Apparently, Alex has been to one, right? But isn't it true? Right? There's churches like that. or it's like primarily, you know, Hispanic church or whatever, you know. That's not right. Now look, if there's a primarily Hispanic church, may it be a primarily Spanish-speaking church. Because obviously, you know, if you are not Hispanic and you speak Spanish, you can go there, right? But it shouldn't be, only Mexicans allowed here. Sorry. Only Chapinas allowed in here, which Chapinas are Guatemalans. You know, we don't accept anything else. No. No. That's wicked and that's evil. Everyone is welcome.
Amen.
Poor, rich. Oh, you allow immigrants into your church? Call ICE.
Amen.
Go for it. You wicked, evil person.
Yeah.
Partial. It's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. Anybody's welcome in our church. If you have a soul, you're welcomed in our church. You say, oh, what about the sodomites? They don't have a soul. They're twice dead.
Amen. Amen.
But anybody who has a soul, they're welcome.
Right.
Doesn't matter what color you are. We're not partial. We don't want to be partial. We will never be partial against that. Okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. So then if God is not biased, you know, how does he bless others? How does he bless what you do? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 15. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, look what it says, judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. So how does he bless others? Based upon the work.
Yep.
So you say, well, you know, you think God's blessing Faith Forward Baptist Church? Yes.
Yeah.
Not because of necessarily the beliefs, but you know, but because of the work that's being done.
Good.
You see, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't look at, you know, how loud you can scream or what kind of King James, where'd you get your King James Bible from? You know what he looks at? He looks at the work that's being accomplished. How many souls are being saved? The work that's being done in the church. That's what he looks at. And that's what he blesses according to, okay? So, obviously we said that we ought to respect everyone generally and by default do that. Now, go with me if you would to John chapter 8. We ought never to be characterized as people who are disrespectful, okay? And look, if you have that bent of just being disrespectful all the time, you need to change. Okay, you need to change that and you need to grow up. And often it comes from babes in Christ. All right. Often those who are newly saved or they've read their Bible through once or twice, they're just very disrespectful. And sometimes they don't even know that they're being disrespectful. It just comes with the territory of being a babe in Christ. By the way, I've been there. You know, you get saved, you learn the Bible, you're reading it, you're an independent fundamental Baptist, and what happens? You have this bent, this attitude that you think you know more than everyone. Look, if you've only been saved for 2 years, you don't know a whole lot.
Amen.
Okay, that could offend you, and you may not like that, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Okay, and especially if you've only read your Bible through 2 times, or even once, you have no room to talk. Okay. But what's this attitude that we have? We often, as babes in Christ, they often have the attitude, well, you know, I'm saved, especially if you're in our movement. Because look, our movement has a lot of things right. And praise God for that. You know, we get to be right on a lot of things because, you know, people who have taught us, whether it's Pastor Stephen Anderson, Pastor Jimenez, you know, other men of God who have enlightened us and have shown us from the Bible, and we learn through those things. But you know what? That ought not to cause you to be proud. That ought to humble you, okay? You ought to be thankful for these things and say, man, I'm thankful that I came across these truths. And not think that you're better than everyone because of it, okay? Look what the Bible says here. So, first and foremost, we see a lack of respect for God and his people, okay? We see that a lot today. John chapter 8, verse 48, look what the Bible says. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. So we see here that the Pharisees were being disrespectful towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were calling him a devil. I mean, to call the Son of God, God himself, God in the flesh, a devil. That's the most dishonoring thing that you can say. Look, go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, in verse 24. It says here, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Now, Beelzebub is just another word for devil.
Yep.
Okay? You know, Baal, Beelzebub, these are all names that are in reference to the devil.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's saying there, if people have called the master of the house the devil, don't be surprised when they call you the devil. So if they're calling Jesus Christ the devil,
yep,
that means if we follow the Lord, guess what people are going to do? They're going to call us the devil too.
Yep. Yeah.
And more often than not, over the last couple of months, I've had more pastors, so-called, call me and call Pastor Anderson satanic and that they're of the devil. Which, you know what? That's disrespectful.
Amen.
That's dishonoring. Why is that? Because I got the Holy Spirit of God living within me.
Amen.
I got the right gospel.
Amen. Right.
And I don't care if you disagree with me on whatever topics, whether it's end times or the Jews. If you and I have a conversation about salvation, you would see that I'm saved.
Amen.
I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it's by works. It's once saved, always saved. Amen. I believe right about that. No one has the right to call someone who believes right on salvation a devil.
Amen.
Okay? You know, we got a pastor over here in Wildermar calling Pastor Stephen Anderson a devil.
Yeah.
Satanic. Because of what he believes. That's demonic.
Amen.
That's devilish. Okay? You know, and they want to say that because we don't believe the Jews are God's chosen people that you can lose your salvation. You know, those people are calling us devils too.
Yep.
They're saying we're satanic because they worship the Jews. Let me just go on and say, I don't worship the Jews. And there's people out there who don't worship the Jews as well, and they don't necessarily agree with us. But it's not right for those who don't agree with us to call us devils. I would even go as far as to call someone who is saved who disagrees with us a devil.
Right.
You know, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful. That's dishonoring. I couldn't call a pastor who's saved who doesn't agree with us a devil for not agreeing with me. That's evil and that's wicked.
Right.
Okay? And look, don't criticize saved people and just say, oh yeah, that guy's a faggot or he's a reprobate or just because he doesn't agree with you. If he's right on salvation, he's right on salvation. He's just misled in that area, obviously. Okay? And there's plenty of pastors, even pastors who have joined our movement, who were wrong about some of these things, and they got it right. But they were pastoring already. Okay? But here's the thing. It's wicked and it's wrong for any pastor to call someone the devil just because they believe different than them about the Jews. That's evil. That's wicked. Okay? It's wicked for a Christian to do that. And there's Christians who are doing it, okay? Now, this guy, Jack Rodriguez, from Will of God Baptist Church in Highland Park, you know, he got all offended and everything because I preached that sermon against him that he said that, and he's telling the church members, how can, you know, they came to Brother Ulysses and Miss Vanessa's wedding. A lot of them came. And, you know, we don't have a lot of subscribers, but we have about 2,300 subscribers on our YouTube channel. And let me just tell you something. Most of those subscribers, or a lot of them, are people who don't like us. Okay? I find it so funny that I need to post on Instagram, you know, a picture of the people who don't like us. It's like when the people who hate your guts watch you all the time. It's like weird. It's like if you hate my guts so much, why do you watch me all the time? Don't you have something else to do? You have clothes to wash. You go to school. You work. But they watch us, like religiously. People who do not. I have people on Instagram that hate my guts. And obviously they don't know. Okay, so who has Instagram? Anybody have Instagram? Okay. When you post a story on Instagram, okay, just in case you guys didn't know this, if someone watches your Instagram story, you can see who watched your Instagram story. Now, obviously, you can't see when someone goes on your grid, you know, but you can see when they watch your Instagram story. So every day, sometimes when I post something, you know, I get like over 100 views on my Instagram, and I'm just scrolling through. I'm like, what in the world? These people watch me religiously. You know, they just want to know what's going on. And there's some people from Will of God Baptist Church who are watching my stuff all the time, too. So this guy got mad. You know, he's like, these people don't respect me. Well, these people don't respect you. He's like, yeah, we don't respect you. Because you said we can lose our salvation.
Right.
And this is why we don't respect you, Jack Rodriguez, in case you're wondering. Because number one, you can't lose your salvation for any reason.
Amen.
You should call him pastor. He's not a pastor.
Amen.
If you believe you can lose your salvation.
Amen.
Right.
He's a false prophet.
Amen.
So let me make something very clear. The reason I don't respect you, Jack Rodriguez, in case you watch this on my Instagram story. The reason I don't respect you is because you're preaching a false gospel.
Right.
That's why I don't respect you. You should call him pastor. I will never call him pastor. Amen. If I do, I'm sorry. Okay? I apologize. I messed up. But that's why I don't respect him. And let me say this. And it was funny. He's over here telling the people in his church. He got on somebody and was like, you know, I can't believe you guys went over there. You know, those people don't respect me. And then one of the guys who was here, you know, he's like, well, that guy, yeah, he doesn't respect me anyways. But still, you know. So he has people in his church that he knows doesn't respect him. So number two, you have weak leadership.
That's right.
Look, if you don't like me, that's fine, but just keep your mouth shut. Because I'm the leader here, sorry. If you don't like it, you can give Pastor Anderson a call and say, hey, I don't agree with Brother Bruce on this, and I can talk to him about that. But the fact remains, this isn't a democracy.
Amen.
Right? There's one leader, leaders under that leader, and that's the way the church is run.
Amen.
But you know what you have at Will of God Baptist Church is he takes, well, what would you like to do? You know? He takes opinions from him, and he can't lead. He can't even lead his own home. You know, his daughter, who's an avid follower of us, of course, you know, is over here hanging out with the dyke. You know, that's your daughter. And she's living under your roof. His son works for J. Vernon McGee's organization. Does anybody know who J. Vernon McGee is? If you don't know who he is, I'll let you know where he lives. He lives in hell. That's his primary residential place as of now. He's a man who wrote books, and Bible colleges promote his books all the time. And he talks about, you know, he speaks against the church, the local church. He says that you know we shouldn't tithe. He criticizes over and over again the King James Bible. Oh, the King James Bible rendered this was an error in this rendition right here. And that guy's son's working for his organization. Hell will freeze over before my children ever do that.
Amen.
Okay. So if you're ever wondering why I don't respect you, it's because of that. You know, by the way, in order for him to get the building that he got, he had to be a part of some Baptist organization denomination, which Pastor Ringo Ayala exposed him in regards to that.
Amen.
You know, his brother went to some meeting for a specific building, and he saw that guy there on the council board. And he was like, what are you doing here? And he was like, you know, he's like, what do you say? But you know what? The Bible says, you know, to be a respecter of people is not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress.
Amen.
So when you're not principled, you don't have convictions, you'll transgress for a piece of bread. So in case you were wondering, go to Luke chapter 12, verse 52. By the way, these same churches who can't earn the respect of their own people are often people who try to enforce that respect upon them. Like, you have to ask that pastor for permission for everything. You know, including who you date or something, you know. Now, I had to ask my pastor for permission to date because I was dating his daughter. Okay, that's different. But when you can't do anything, by the way, that's like old IFB to the max right there. Where the pastor, the church is run as a democracy, or the wife runs that church, okay? Which is very often, more often than not, that's what takes place. The wife is the one running the show, pastora, or whatever. It happens all the time. Because they know that they can't run their church as it needs to be run, they have to display this dictatorship type of, you know, attitude and character to make it look like he's like ruling with a rod of iron. You know, you need to ask me for, you can't do that, you know. I mean, I've even heard of a Spanish church down the street who was telling a girl in our church, hey, before they got married, he's like, hey, you can't date that guy. The youth pastor was telling, you can't date that guy. And the girl was like, my mom and my dad said I could. And he says, yeah, but I said you can't.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. They treat the Baptist churches like they're Catholic institutions or something.
Right.
By the way, and it's funny that they call us a cult.
Yeah, right.
That's cultish right there.
Amen.
By the way, let me just side note here. If your parents are okay with you dating someone, who cares what anybody else says?
Amen.
Your parents approved it. Settled. Amen. You know, I remember when I was courting my wife, people were going to my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, who were not my father and my mother, and they're like, don't let him date. He's weird and all these things, and he's rude and all these things. And it's just like, mind your own business.
Right.
You know, what business do you have trying to get into someone's relationship? Look, if the parents approve, the parents approve. That's the authority, the most important authority right there in a child's life.
Amen.
Right? Now, when the child is here, obviously I'm an authority in the sense of I'm proclaiming God's word, but I have no business in your own personal life.
Amen.
I'm not the Baptist police making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. No, I got my own family to take care of.
Right.
Okay? It's weird. Luke 12:52 says, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So we see here that even in the end times, and obviously this is referring to the end times specifically, but even today, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Even to the point where churches or families will divide based upon the church they go to,
right,
or the person that they're following. That's not right. That's partial. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 10. I'm sorry, go to Luke 6. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 10. Luke 6. Matthew 10:22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hey, I'm thankful that we're hated. I'm thankful that I'm hated. Because it kind of gives me a measuring stick, like, okay, I'm doing right. Obviously, you know what I mean? The more hate, it's like, okay, I'm doing... If everyone likes me, then we got a problem.
Amen. Yeah.
Then you got a politician for a pastor.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? You got a politician, because you can't please everyone. Right. Especially if you're going according to the Word of God.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So you're going to have people that hate you. If you have people on both sides liking you, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Amen.
That's fact right there.
Amen.
Because not every two-person agrees on everything. So either you're going to disagree with this person and agree with this person, well, then you're going to take off this person for not agreeing with them.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter. God did not call us to be politicians.
Right. Right.
Okay, He called us to be pastors and preachers of His word.
Amen.
Now, Luke 6:22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So what are they saying? You're blessed that people are disrespecting you.
Amen.
Amen. People call you a devil and that you're of Satan. And look, if you're going according to God's word, they have to lie.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
In order to call you a devil.
Yep.
They have to make things up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and was that a reminder? Am I going above my time? No, just kidding. You know, they have to lie about you. You know, this pastor over in Wildemar was saying, you know, oh, pastor, or he doesn't even call him pastor. He says, Stephen Anderson. Which is another point that we're going to hit right here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We need to respect those who are in leadership position as far as being a pastor.
Amen.
Okay. Or any leadership position at that. But this pastor over there, he was saying, he lied and he said that Pastor Anderson says, yeah, go into these churches that don't agree with me and start pulling out their people.
What?
He's never said anything like that.
Exactly.
And look,
amen.
I personally know that for a fact. Why? But because when I was at my old church and I visited Pastor Anderson, we went out to eat. I spent hours with him discussing doctrine, just discussing vision and all these things. He never once, I mean, I honestly thought he was going to, because obviously there's some things that I disagreed with at my old church. I honestly thought he was going to say, why don't you just move over here? You know, just join us. Not once. You know what he said? He said this, you know what you need to do? Just go back to your church, be a blessing. Help your pastor.
Amen.
Go soul winning. And that's what you... Never once did he say, unless, you know, you want to come over here. Not once.
Yep.
So to say, get up and say, and I will... Look, you say, why are you spending time with this? Because I'll defend my pastor.
Amen.
To the day is long. Okay? Because he's right. I'm not being a respecter of persons. I've seen his character. I've seen his heart. You know, he's not what people make him out to be. And for you to say that he goes into churches and tells people, get those people out, he's never said that.
Amen.
You're a liar.
Right.
Yep.
You're disrespecting a man of God and you're lying. And look, let me say this. I'll go on and say, if someone slanders that pastor, I'd be against that person as well for lying against them. Because I don't think it's right to lie against any pastor.
Amen.
John 15. So they have to fabricate these things. They have to lie in order. Because why? Well, they can't say they don't go soul winning.
Right?
I mean, when I was in Bible college, one of the assistant pastors got up bashing Pastor Anderson. And he said, why doesn't that guy just go soul winning? Well, later on, and by the way, I respect this guy for doing this. Later on, his wife said, honey, you know that guy does like a lot of soul winning? He's like, really? He goes, yeah. And she like showed him. And they're not for him still. Like they don't agree with him. He got back up in that class and said, hey, I just want to apologize for saying that yesterday. Because I guess this guy does go soul winning. You know, hey, that takes a lot of humility and guts to say that.
Yeah.
Instead of lying,
right.
People would say, well, he doesn't, you know, his church of 20. But they have to make up all these things.
Yep.
And let me say this, they do the same thing to us.
Yeah, right.
They lie up and down about us all the time. Why? They have to. Okay. But the title of the sermon is, you know, respect. So they're being disrespectful by doing that. When the Bible commands that we ought to respect one another. Psalms 119, 128. Or what did I have you turn? John 15? The Bible says in verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own. Joel Osteen. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So that's a measuring stick. And if the world hates us and we get slandered, we get lied about, we should just say amen. That means we're being like Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, go to Psalms 119. So we see a lack of respect for God and his people. We also see a lack of respect for God and his word. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 128, therefore I esteem, 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. So what is the contrast there? The contrast is this. If you esteem the word of God, then you have to hate every false way.
That's right.
Because the Bible's absolute.
Amen.
It's an absolute truth.
Amen.
Therefore, anything outside of what the Bible says is wrong.
Amen.
Okay? It's a wrong way. So you can't say that you esteem the Word of God and be, you know, sympathetic towards every false way. Does that make sense? You have to hate it. Because in order to love the Word of God, you have to hate evil. You have to hate ways that teach contrary to the Word of God. So this goes in line with, you say, well, how is it that people don't respect the Word of God when they stop going to the Word of God to learn? And they start going to secular theological books, philosophical, all these types of books that teach things that are contrary to God and His Word, where you can't say that you are esteeming the Word of God if that's what you're using. You can't get up on a Sunday morning and preach a sermon that you primarily got from a commentary by a guy who's unsaved.